Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Chav Tes. We're going to begin 9 lines from the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis with the 2 dots. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas and Tepper, Chana Bas Yaakov Yehuda, Bernice Shraga, Bracha Bas Yishayahu. All the chunks we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of all of the forces of Klal Yisrael. They should be safe. They should be successful in everything that they do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should watch over them. They should bring back the hostages safely, healthy, Be'ezus Hashem, B'mehera, and all those in need of a Refuah Shleima. They should have a Refuah Shleima, B'mehera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Menachem, all those that have suffered such tragic korbanos that they've sacrificed. Al Kiddush Hashem, and on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Hashem Yinachem, Hashem Yirachem. Okay, we pick up, as I said, 2 dots. Bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis, 9 lines on the bottom, we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the Tana Kama holds that if the person had a jug in the Shusha Rabim and it broke, so he's chayiv for the damages that resulted from the water, let's say, that was in his jug or the shards of pottery that were in his jug. But along comes Rav Yehuda and disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer b'miskaven chayiv. If he was intentionally doing this, then he's chayiv. If he was not intentionally doing it, breaking the jug, then he would not be chayiv. What exactly does it mean, intentionally? So, hechi dovi miskaven. The Gemara asks, what exactly does it mean when we say he was miskaven, he intended to go and cause damage? So, Amar Rabba, Rabba explains, when it means miskaven, it means b'miskaven lehorida lemato misefo. It means he had intention to take it down. It was on his shoulder, and he was taking it down on from his shoulder, and he tripped, and something happened, and the cod fell, and it broke, and it smashed, and all the water came out. So that's what miskavi means. He had intention to bring it down from his shoulder. So the implication is that that's Rav Yehuda says only when he had intention to bring it down from his shoulder is he chayiv. If he didn't have intention to bring it down from his shoulder, it just broke on its own, so then he would be potter. Implication being that the Tana Kama, who we'll see is Rav Meir, the Tana Kama holds, even in that situation, you're chayiv. So Amalei Abaye says, Michlal, the Mechayiv Rabbi Meir, who is the Tana Kama. Stam Tana Kama is usually Rav Meir, and here it is, because we'll have a brice that it says it's befeirish. So Rabbi says, if what you're saying is correct, Rabbah, that Rav Yehuda says, if it's unintentional, meaning if it was broke spontaneously up on his shoulder, he's not chayiv, then the Tana Kama, which is Rav Meir, says in that situation, it'll be chayiv. Michal de Mechayiv Rabbi Meir, afilu nifshira. Rashi says the word nifshira means that it broke on its own. Nimucha, it just dissolved. Like we have with the mon, it says in Bishalach, in Parshas Bishalach, v'chom hashemesh v'nomas. So v'chom hashemesh v'nomas means that the mon just melted away. So here too, the jug just broke. It spontaneously, so to say, just broke. There was a cheap jug and it just broke and all the water poured out. So michlad v'chayv v'meir, I feel l'nifshua. V'meir would be mechayev, even if it wasn't your fault, if it was not an accident at all. Is that really true? So, yeah, Rabbi says, yeah, amalei, yeah, in. Mechayev hoya Rabbi Meir, afilu ozno biyodo. He's only onto the handle, the rest of the jug broke. So, even in that situation, Rabbi says to Abaye, yeah, I hold that Rabbi would be mechayev, the Tanakama, Rabbi would be mechayev in that situation, even though you weren't negligent at all, you didn't do anything at all, it wasn't in any way your fault. Gemara says, wait a second, does Rabbi Meir really say that in that situation we were an onus, that you're chayiv? Onus who? In that situation, you didn't do anything, you weren't negligent in any way, it just spontaneously broke, it was a lousy jug. So, the onus rachmana patre, the rule is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't hold you liable for unavoidable accidents like this. As the pasuk says, "Dirsiv v'lanara lo saseh davar." Rachmana l'slan, if a girl is raped, so she's assaulted, it was outside the town, nobody would hear her screams, so we don't do anything to her. Chas v'shalom, she in any way held accountable for the fact that this man was ma'aneser. So v'lanara lo saseh davar, because onis rachmana patre. So to over here, mustn't it be that the Rameya would not hold that you're chayiv for an onus? How can you, Rabbi, say that you're chayiv for an onus? Are you going to tell me that maybe this din, is only in regards to capital, but not in regards to nezikin? That this only replies in regards to a capital offense, that she would be mechuyeves misa, she was an arum urasa, and she intentionally had a relationship with chayeves misa. So here, we're only saying in regards to capital that if it's an accident, onus rachmana patri. But I will in your nezikin chayiv. You're telling me in regards to nezikin, you would in fact be chayiv? That's not true, because we learn in another brisa, and this brisa is going to parallel our Mishnah. Here, the mentioned Tana is Rav Meir, and the Chachamim, that's the sheet of Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah. So, Vatanya, Nishbro Akado, this brisa tells us that if your jug broke, Nishbro Akado, the low silko, and you didn't go and remove it. So, the water's there, and the shards are there. Or the next scenario, or nafagumalo, your camel falls down, vlohimido, and you didn't stand it up right away. In this situation, Rav Meir is mechayev bezekun. Rav Meir says you're chayev in the damage that they caused. The chachamim say no. In this situation, we turn to chavtes avalav. You're not chayev because the chachamim say that you're not considered posheya in this situation if the cod broke and you didn't go and pick it up right away and the camel fell down and you didn't pick it up right away. So you're not considered a posheya according to chachamim. But Rav Meir says you are a posheya in that situation and therefore you're chayev behezek. But from the rest of the brayse, now we're going to have the proof that Rav Meir holds onus rachmona patri by nezikin. Because the brayse continues, and again, we're on the top of Chavtes Amud Aleph, part to Medina Yadam, that while the Chachamim say you're part to Medina Yadam, because the person really wasn't posheya, but at the same time, you could have been a little bit acting more with alacrity, the Chai Medina Shemayim. And if you want to be Yotze, you know, in Shemayim, you should have done the extra effort and gone and picked up the camel, gone and wiped up the water and taken the shards of pottery away. So even though you weren't held negligent for that, you should have done it. So therefore, you're chayav midinei Shemayim. Now, that's the first part. That has nothing to do with onus. Here we're dealing with whether you hold, as we'll see, if there's Peshia or there's not Peshia. But the second part of this brayse is going to be the kasha. How can you tell me that, Rabbi, how can you say that Rebbeinu says you're chayav for Nezikin, when it's onus rachmona patre, here you'll see that that's not true. Because the Brayse continues, it says, that umodim chachom remeya, the chachom umodim remeya, bi avno sakinu masol, if you have your stone or your knife or your package, shenichon b'rosh gago, that you put it up on the top of your rooftop, and it wasn't in a secure position. You were negligent. The naflu b'ruach b'tzuya, the Ezekiel, and it fell off in a regular wind. It wasn't a hurricane. You put up a package, a knife or a stone on your rooftop, and it's going to get blown off in a normal wind. And it causes damage. In that situation, you're chayev. Everybody agrees in that situation. Even the Chachamim, even Rav Yehuda agrees to Rav Meir that that's negligence, and therefore you're chayev. But here's the point. Now we're going to prove that, Rabbah, you're wrong in saying that Rav Meir holds that you're chayev by onsin for Nezikin, because here it clearly says not so. Umode Rabbi Meir Rabbanan. Rav Meir is more to the Chachamim in this situation. Bimale kankanin alagag. You put up various jugs on your rooftop. Almanas nagvan, that they should dry out, and they're in a secure position, and they won't blow off in a regular wind. But then a hurricane comes. V'naflu b'ruach she'ena mitzuya v'iziku. Then a hurricane comes, and it's not a place where you normally have such strong winds, and the jugs are in fact blown off, and they do cause damage. Even Rav Meir is molded to Rabbi Yehuda, to the Chachamim, Shupater. So here you clearly see, onus rachmona patre. So how, Rabbi, can you say that Rav Meir holds, and that your understanding of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir is as it is, because you would be forced to saying, if miskabing by Rabbi Yehuda is meaning intention, and unintentional, you're not chayav, but then you have to say that Rav Meir says, even unintentional, onus rachmona is not patre, that goes against this beferish braisa that says that's Rav Meir's shita. So therefore, Abaye tells Rabbah, you're incorrect. El Omar Abaye, this is the way you have to understand both our Mishnah and the Braisa, as we'll see. Betarte Pligi, there's a double machlokis over here between Rav Meir and Rehuda, the Reisha and the Seifa. Pligi b'shas tefila, they're arguing about at the time that the person fell and smashed the jug. That's one time, and they're all see. Well, they're arguing about whether you're considered a posheya or not, whether you're negligent or not for tripping. And then they're arguing the second part. Upligi liachan afila. We'll see. There's a separate machlokis. Once it's already out there, the water's out there, the shards of pottery are out there. We'll see. There's a second machlokis. We'll see. It has to do with whether you're chayev if you're mafkir or something or not. But we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to see that. So Abai explains his understanding of the Mishnah, which is the same understanding of the Braisa. So, Pligi b'shas nefila, what's the case where the time of nefila, when he trips and falls, and then he breaks the jug, what's that machlokus between Rav Meir and Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says that in that situation, you are potter if it was an accident, and Rav Meir says you're chayev. Pligi b'shas nefila, b'niskal posheya. Is he considered posheya or not? So the Tanakama, Rav Meir holds Mar Sovar Nitzka Posheyu. You're a klutz, and you're held liable for tripping. You're a posheya. You should have walked more carefully. You should have watched your step better. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, in that situation where you just tripped through no real fault of your own, so then Mar Sovar Yehuda holds Nitzka La Posheyu. He doesn't consider you a posheya. No, you tripped, but you're not a posheya. And that's the Reisha, that's what they're arguing about, that Rav Meir considers you a posheya in that situation when you tripped, and Rav Yehuda does not. And they argue in the second part, pligi li'acha nefila as well. But there they're arguing about the mafkir nizokov. What is the din if the person is mafkir his possessions, is he then still chayiv for them or not? So here, the Tanakama, Rav Meir holds Masavar, Mafkin Zokov is still chayiv. They're yours. You can't just be mafkin them. They're in the Shusarabim. And therefore, you're still chayiv, even though you're mafkin them. Whereas Rav Yehuda holds Umar Savar, no, you're potter in that situation because technically they're not yours. And therefore, you were successfully able to be mafkin them. And therefore, you're not held reliable. Albeit, you should remove them. That's why we said, chayiv bidei shamayim. You'll be chayiv bidei shamayim. Okay. Now, had we know, Abaye says that my way of learning is this right. Umimai, why do you know that this is right? Because midiktani tarti, because in the Mishnah, there are actually two cases. We read it quickly as one case. The guy was walking and he stumbled and he broke his jug and there was water and there were shards of pottery. That's two separate cases. Huchlak, if somebody slipped on the water, echod b'mayim, that's case number one. Or case number two, Oshiloko Becharsis, or they got hurt by the shard of pottery, the broken shard of pottery. So if there were one case, Hainuhach, it's the same thing. So therefore, Elav Hochikama, isn't this what the Mishnah? And similarly, the Brice is telling us that there are two cases over here. Number one is Huchlak Echo Bimayim. That's talking about Bishas Nefila. Are you a Posheya or you're not a Posheya? That's slipping, that tripping, and then the jug breaks. Are you a Posheya or not? Rameh says, you're a Posheya and you're Chayev. And the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, no, you're not considered a Posheya, and therefore you're not Chayev. The second part, oh, Shalaka Becharsis, that's referring to Achar Nefila. The guy gets hurt on the shard of pottery. It's been there for a while now. And therefore the question is, are you Chayev or not? So if you're Mafgirit, so Rabbi says, that doesn't do anything. It was yours. It's in the Rishos HaRabim. You had no right to have it over there. You should have removed it. You're Chayev. Whereas Yehuda says, no, once you're Mafgirit, it's no longer yours, and therefore you're not going to be Chayev Bidei Odom. Okay, and furthermore, Umi Vidimas Nisan Vitarti, just like we've explained our mission now as being two cases, so too the Braisa that we brought down. Braisa Nami Vitarti is also two cases exactly along the same lines. So, the first case is when the cod broke, and the second case is when the camel fell down and didn't get up. So, Bishlama, we want to say, now we can explain this the same way as the Mishnah, that works out well for the first case. Bishlama, kado, with the person tripping and breaking the jug, so mishkachasla, o bishas nefila, o liacha nefila. That could be explained in exactly the way we just said, either that it's a case of whether you're poshe or not, or whether you're mafkir or not. So that's no problem at all. You can explain it either way. But el gumalo, why is that a separate case? Bishlam eliachan afilo mishkachasla. We can understand that after it fell down, and let's say it died, so the mafkir nivloso, that's what they're arguing about. Can you be mafkir the nevela or not? So Rav Meir would say that even if you're mafkir the nevela, you're still chayiv for it. Whereas if you would say if you're mafkir the nevela, you're not chayiv for it. But there's no way to understand the case of the gamel as being a case of pshia. Or at least that's what the Gemara is now asking. How could you possibly explain the camel falling down as being pshia? It's not a human being. You can't hold the owner liable for his animal stumbling. So therefore, how would you possibly say that the Braisa is also talking about two cases? So Rav Acha says, no. Kigon, the Avru B'maya. You could explain it that the animal is a question of Peshia or not in the animal, because it went through water. It went through a submerged, somewhat submerged road. Derech Surato Dinara. So the river had overflowed, and the road that you're going on, now the camel can't see the bottom because there's water over there, and then it trips. So therefore, that could be a question of Poshe or not. So the Gemara says, that's not correct. Hechidami, what are you talking about? Idi Ikodarakra Chrino Posheho. This is a Pashay, according to everybody, if there was another route to take. So you could go on the lower road, which is flooded, or go a few feet away and go on the higher road, which is not flooded. So then if you go on the lower road and your animal trips and causes damage, so of course you'd be chayiv. You're a Pashay. You should go on the high road. And if there's no other road, be the Lekka, Dark Achrin, then this is on this road. What could the guy do? He had to go to point B. He had to go from point A to point B. There was no other road to go on this submerged road. So, no, he's not a poshea. It's an onus if the animal falls. So how can we explain this case of the camel as being a machlokis of poshea or not? So Gemara says, no, you can. Elo, mishkachas law, the iskil, the ikila, begamla. The owner fell. And the owner falling caused the camel to fall. So therefore, the owner is the question. His stumbling and his tripping and falling, is that Pashia or not? Rameya says, it's Pashia and you're Chayiv. And Revuda says, no, it's not considered Pashia and you're not Chayiv. So that's how you'd explain the Brisa, the case of the camel, as being a case of Pashia or not, because it's the owner that tripped and that caused the animal to trip. So how do we view the owner? That's how we view the camel. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Mafku nizokov my miskavein ika. We now ask a question when we said that if you're Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're miskavein, then you're chayiv. If you're not miskavein, then you're potter. So in regards to mafkir yinizakim, so your mafkir, your shards of pottery that fell there, what does that have to do with miskavein or not? We said he only says in miskavein, you're chayiv. If you're not miskavein, you're potter. How does that interact with the words mafkir? So Rabbi Yosef explains very simply, Amar Rabbi Yosef, the miskavein liskos b'charasel, the shards of pottery are worth something to you. And therefore, if you intended to go and keep these shards of property, so then you would be chayiv. If you didn't intend to keep these shards of pottery, so then you would be potter. V'chein or Ravashi said exactly the same terms as Rav Yosef, v'miskavein liskos b'charoseho, if he did or did not have intention to go and keep those shards of pottery. Okay, Mara now tells us, Rabbi Elazar Amar b'shas nefilo machlokes. According to Rabbi Elazar, this brisa we brought down with the cod breaking or the camel falling. So Rabbi Elazar says this is only bishas nefila machlokis. The machlokis in this brisa between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Chacham here are again Rav Yehuda. So this is only talking about bishas nefila. It's only talking about machlokis at the time of the fall. In other words, is it bishia or not? Avoli acha nefila, but after nefila, it's not a machlokis. So when it says avoli acha nefila, my, then what is the case? Are you telling me that everybody says that he chayiv, or everybody says that you're potter? So the first teretz that the Gemara gives that Rav Elazar says divrei hakol potter. In that situation, everybody holds that you're potter. Wait a second, where it says, how can that be? Va'ika Rav Meir d'machayev. In our Mishnah, Rav Meir says that you're chayev in that situation. He says if you're mafkir, you're nizakav, so then you're still chayev. So how can you tell me divrei hakol potter over here? So what must it be? The Rav Elazar says, machlokas is only in the case of Peshia, not. But in the case of Mafki and Nechasov, Elamai, Direko Chayiv. Everybody says you're Chayiv in that situation. Where it says, that can't be. Vayikra Rabbanan, the Patri. In our Mishnah, the Chacham say, the opinion of Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah is that you are in fact Potter. So how can Rav Elazar possibly learn the Brisa in the way that we just said? So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, what does it mean? Ella, the machlokas is my bishas nefila. It means af bishas nefila. That not only do they argue in the case of mafkir and nechasov, but they're also arguing in the case of whether this is pshia or not. Af bishas nefila. V'kamash v'lon k'dabayit. Oh, and Rabbi Elazar holds exactly the way Abaye explained the Mishnah and the Braisa. We turn to Chavtetz on the base. That was Rabbi Elazar's understanding of the Braisa. Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Braisa is different. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, between Rav Meir and Yehuda, is only li achai nefila machlokas, only in the case of mafkir nechasov. The Rav Meir says they're still considered yours in terms of damages, even though you're mafkir them. And Yehuda says, no, if you're mafkir them, the Chacham hold that you're not chayiv in that situation. Again, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are the same in the Braisa. Now, the Gemara questions this. It says, really? That would imply avol b'shas nefila. My, what's the halacha then in the case of Peshia? Are you telling me divrei hakol potter? Everybody in fact says, Rav Yochanan holds, that both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda hold that you're potter in that situation? But that's not true. But in a mission that we learn in Mitzvah Hashem in 2 days on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, where the mission discusses a case, two people are walking in Rosh Hashanah, and they're walking one behind the other, and the first person trips and falls, and he damages the guy behind him. So are you chayiv or not in that situation? So what does the opinion of Rav Yochanan say over there? Rav Yochanan explained that Mishnah to say, Lo tema masnisa Rav Meir. Don't say that the Mishnah only goes in accord with the opinion of Rav Meir, who says that we view this person as stumbling as a posheya. But that implies that Rav Yehuda doesn't view the person as a posheya. Don't say that that Mishnah only goes according to Rav Meir. The Omar Nitzka Poshehu, who says that a person who trips is considered a posheya. That implies, Michal, the Rav Meir, is definitely Mechayev in the case of Niskal. You are a Poshea. So how can you tell me over here, Diriyako Potter? Obviously not. So we clearly know that Rav Meir holds that if the person trips, he's considered a Poshea and you're Chayev. So you can't say over here, the Rav Yochanan says when the Machlokas is only Li'acha Nefila in case of Mafkir, and there's no Machlokas in the case of Pshia, so it can't be that Diriyako Potter. Elamai, so what's the other alternative? That Rav Yochanan is saying, Diriyako Chayev. In fact, everybody, not only Rav Meir, but even the opinion of the Chacham and Rav Yehuda, is that you're chayev? That's not true. Because over there in that Mishnah, he says, don't say, lo tema masnis Rav Meir. Don't say in that situation that it's only going according to Rav Meir, the Amar Nitzka Poshehu. That implies that in general, the Chachamim, Rav Yehuda, disagree with Rav Meir. Michal de Patri Rabbanan. So how can you tell me Divrei HaKol Patur? How can you tell me Divrei HaKol Chayim? So obviously, Rav Yochanan has a problem. So what does Rav Yochanan mean? Elo HaKamashvan. This is what Rav Yochanan means when he says the Machlokas Lachan Afilu Machlokas. The Mafki Nizokov de Hocha Hu de Patri Rabbanan. Only in this situation is there a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in terms of if you're a mafkir, you're a nechassim, are you still liable or not? Only over here does Rav Meir say that you're still chayev, and Rav Yehuda says that you're potter. However, that's because here, the onusu, this was a case of ones, and that's why Rav Yehuda in this situation says that you're not going to be chayev if you're mafkir your things. However, Abu Mafkir Nizokov the Alma, but in general, Rav Yehuda also agrees with Rav Meir that even though you're mafkir something, it was yours, and therefore, mechayve, you are still going to be chayev. And that's where Rav Yochanan would learn this brisa. When he says, La'acha nefila machlokas, it's only in this situation is there machlokas in terms of mafkir nezokov, because it's an onus, and therefore Rav Yehuda is makel in this situation. But in general, even Rav Yehuda is machmir. And certainly, in regards to pshia, at the beginning, there is a machlokas in Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Okay, a little bit of a tough Gemara. I hope it was clear. Let's go weiter. Itmar. We have the following machlokas in the base medrash. It was stated, mafkir nezokov, if a person is mafkir and his properties and they damage, so Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, chadamar chayiv, v'chadamar potter. Here, one of them says you're chayiv in this situation, and one of them says that you're potter. Now, let us say, lema man de mechayiv k'rav meir, u'man de potter k'rabbanu. Let us say, this is exactly the machlokas over here between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, i.e. Rav Yehuda. The Rav Meir says, even though you're mafkir, you're nechassim, you're still held liable. And the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, say no. Even if you're mafkir, you're nechassim, you're not held liable. So let us say that this machlokas between the Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Elazar exactly parallels this machlokas tanaim of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. What says lav dafka? Because aliba the Rabbi Meir could say, according to Rabbi Meir, kuli amalo pligi. According to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, everybody agrees that if you're mafkir, you're nechassim, you're still going to be chayiv. Because they were your nechassim, they were the shusha rabim. The fact that you mafkir them doesn't change your liability. So everybody agrees to that. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, they all agree that Rabbi Meir would say that you're chayiv. So don't say that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar parallels the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the chachamim Rabbi Yehuda. So that can't be it. Where do they argue? Man de potter, whichever one of these two man de omers, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar says that you're potter in this situation of mafkir nechassim. So yes, he does hold like the Rabbanan. Man de potter holds like the Rabbanan that says if you're mafkir nechassim, so then they're no longer using, you're not chayiv for damages. But the one that says that you're chayiv, man de mechayiv, amaloch, he will say to you, no, ana the amre, I hold that afilu, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, of le Rabbanan, even according to them, that you would be, in fact, chayav, even according to the opinion of the Chachamim. Why is that? Because, ad kan lo patri rabbanon ela b'mafkir nezokov d'hocha, as we had said. That's only because he was mafkir his nechassim after this onus. He tumbled, he fell, they broke, and now he's mafkir them. So, in that situation, the Chachamim reviewed to say, yes, you can be mafkir nechassim, and you would be potter. Mishum d'onusu, because again, this was an accident. And you're not going to be held liable for putting your things in the Rishus HaRabim intentionally, because you didn't. So therefore, you could be mafkir them, and you'll be potter, at least midine adam. However, avo mafkir nizokov di alma, but if you intentionally put your evan, your sakim, or your masa there in the Rishus HaRabim, you put them there, and then you mafkir them? No. Then even the opinion of Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim, would be that you're mechayiv in that situation if you're mafkir your nizokim. So therefore, we don't have to say that the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan parallels the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, which one of them holds which way? Which opinion is Rabbi Elazar? Which opinion is Rabbi Yochanan? So more wants to suggest, Tistayim, let us give a proof, the Rabbi Elazar who the Omer Chayev, that Rabbi Elazar is the opinion that says that you're Chayev in this situation. Why is that? Because the Omer Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Elazar said the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Shnei Dvarim Einon Birshusa Shaladam. Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Yishmael the following idea. There are two items, which we'll see in a moment what they are, that are not technically in the Rishus of an Adam, but Va'asana Kosu, but the Torah made it Ki'ilu Heim Rishuso. They technically are yours, even though they technically are not. What do I mean by that? So, Ve'elohim, these are the two. So, Bor Rishus HaRabim. You dug a pit in the Rishus HaRabim. No, you don't own the Rishus HaRabim. So, technically, the pit doesn't belong to you. However, HaKosuv came, the Torah came, and says, V'ason HaKosuv ki'ilu heim birshuso, that this pit is yours, even though it's not yours. But we treat it as if it's yours, and therefore you're mechuyev to pay for damages from the pit. Ah, Rabbi Elazar is the one that says that you're chayev. And likewise, chametz mishei shalosh l'mala. Technically, after 6 hours of the day on Pesach, you're not allowed to own any chametz. So anything that you have is theoretically not yours. But the rabbis made it that it's yours in regards to the din of chametz on Pesach. So bottom line is, we see from this statement, the rulers made in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that in fact, the bar, Birshus HaRabim, is considered yours, even though it's not yours, so too. Even though you were mafkir, you nechasim, we still view them as they're yours. Also had Torah, kilu heim birshus. So, tistayim, that seems to be a good proof that Rabbi Elazar is the one that says Yechayv. Mark questions this and says, really? Umi omar Rabbi Elazar hachi? Did Rabbi Elazar really hold like this? Right, now we'll eventually say there's a difference between his own opinion and the opinion of his Rebbe. That will be an ultimate answer. But for right now, we're saying that Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold like this. For all Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ifcha, we see elsewhere that Rabbi Elazar says the exact opposite. It says that you're potter. Where is that? It's not. This is a Mishnah that we're going to learn in tomorrow's Shia. This Mishnah tells us, if there is some manure in the Rishus HaRabim, and this person takes a pitchfork and he goes and turns this manure over in the Rishus HaRabim. And now somebody else comes along after he turned it over. He left it in the same place ultimately, but he turned it over. He was Hofech HaSagolo in the Rishus HaRabim. And now, somebody else slipped and hurt themselves on this manure. Chayev Benisko, the person who was Hofech HaSagolo, is in fact going to be Chayev. And on this Mishnah, the Amora, Rabbi Elazar comes to tell us, Amora, Rabbi Elazar, Lo Shana, we only said that Yechayev, Eloshin is Skavein Lizkos Behem. If when he turned it over, he was Hofech as his Golo, he intended to go and acquire it. Avolonis Skavein Lizkos Behem, if he didn't intend to acquire it, then he would be Potter. What do we see? I'm a Mavkir Nizaka Potter. And if you're mafkir something, so then you're not held liable. That goes against what we just said. The Rabbi Elazar says the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that you are chayiv for your items. Also, a cost of kilo and birshuso. So we seem to have a contradiction. So I'm a Rabbi Adabar Abba, no, Sheikh Zero Makoma. The reason why we say you're potter in this situation, Rabbi Elazar says that Lo Shana Olish Niskavi Liskos Bem, Avolon Niskavi Liskos Bem Potter, is because he put it back exactly the way that it was beforehand. And that's why he's not Chayiv, because it was there beforehand. He didn't change anything around. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Moshel Derav Adabar Ava Lamad Adover Domer. What's an example to analogize over here to what Rav Adabar Ava said? It would be comparable Lemotze Bor Megula. If you find a bor that's uncovered, it's open in the Rishus HaRabim, V'chiso, you cover it up, and then V'chaza V'gilo, and then you uncovered it. So it's exactly the same way as it was beforehand, and therefore you're not chayiv. So too, there's manure in the Rishus HaRabim. While you were hofech with it, bottom line is, it's exactly the same place as it was beforehand, and therefore you didn't do anything. It's like the man who, there was a pit in the Rishus HaRabim, he covered it up, and then he uncovered it, he's not held liable. That's what Ravina says it's comparable to. Amalei Mazutra, braid the Rav Mari Ravina. Mazutra, who is the son of Rav Mari, said to Ravina, I don't think that's a good analogy. Why not? Me dummy, they're not the same case. In the case of the person who found a dog pit in the Rishus HaRabim, and then he covered it up, and then he uncovered it, Hasam lo istalik lumais misho. The original person who dug the pit, nothing was changed from the damage that he caused by digging that pit in the Rishus HaRabim. So you're covering it, and then uncovering it changed nothing. But in our case with the manure, hocha, istalek lu maiserisho, when you picked up the manure and you were hofech in it, it ain't there anymore. So the original person who put the manure over there, he is no longer having put that manure there. It has been removed. You then go and put it back? So that's a new maisa. Hello, dummy. If you want to make it analogous to a case, it would be analogous to the following case. It would be comparable, el lemotze bar megula. Utimama, you find this uncovered bar and you fill it up with dirt. Now that guy's original action of digging the bar is gone. And then you dig it out again. The chazar v'chafara, you then went and took out all the dirt that you put in and you say, wow, there's the bar again. In that situation, this talkulumai serisho, the original digger of that pit, his efforts are gone. You filled it in. So now when you go and have the new pit dug, the kaima lo birshuso, it is considered yours. So that's why the manure that was hofech, so that's considered the second person. So Gemara says, El Amar Ravashi, this is where you have to understand that Mishnah. El Amar Ravashi, kisha hafocha lepochus mishlosha. He wasn't doing it in the proper way to make a kinyan. He didn't lift it up more than 3 tefachim. In order to make a kinyan, you have to go and lift it off the ground. If it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's considered still on the ground, and therefore that is not considered sufficient to undo the placement of the manure there by the first person. So therefore, you're not considered having changed it, and that's why you're potter. Now, that's a pretty dochak way to explain that Mishnah. Umay dochake de Rabbi Elazar to say, why are you forcing us to say that he lifted it but less than 3 tefachim? That's the case. The timer, and therefore, the chiniskabin liskos ba yachayev. Ha'ein miskabin liskos ba lo. But if you didn't have kabbana to go and acquire it, you're not going to be chayev. Why did you say it that way? Just lok mo lamala mishlosha. Let's just say that he lifted it up more than 3 tefachim from the ground. And the avagad, the lo niskabin liskos ba chayev. And even though you didn't intend to acquire it, you lifted it up more than 3 tefachim off the ground, and that's considered significant. Why did he say, you have to be talking about over here, that he lifted it less than 3 tefachim, didn't intend to acquire it, did intend to acquire it? Why are you giving such a complicated dochat explanation? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Masnisa Kishisa, because the words of the Mishnah bothered him. What were the words? Ma yirya hafach. Why did it say in the Mishnah that hofech ez gilolo, ha hofech ez hagolo, birshus harabim? Why did he use this terminology of hafach? Ma yirya hafach. Listen, higbia. You should have just said he lifted it up. Oh, from the fact that he didn't use the lashon of higbia, but he used the lashon of hafach, by definition, it's less than 3 tefachim. And therefore, it depends. Did he have kavanah to acquire it? So then he acquired it. If he didn't have kavanah to acquire it, then he didn't have kavanah to acquire it. And therefore, it's not considered his. Oh, that's why we have to use this lashon of hafach. Okay. Now, we seem to have proven to Stayim that Umid Rabbi Elazar, Omer Chayev, Rabbi Elazar is the one that says, even if you're mafki nechasim, you're chayev. So that implies the Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Potter. Is that really true? But here, we'll show you that Rabbi Yochanan says, Yechayev. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, how can you tell me Rabbi Yochanan says, you're Potter? Vatnan, we learn in the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah also in tomorrow's Shia. We'll have a couple of Mishnahs in tomorrow's Shia. So the Mishnah in tomorrow's Shia, another Mishnah is going to tell us, Hamatznia esakotz, b'esas chuches. If a person went to put some sort of a sharp thing like a coat, a thorn, or a glass, a broken piece of glass in the Rishus HaRabim. Or, v'hagoder gidero b'kotzim. Or, you make a fence around your property, and the fence goes into the Rishus HaRabim, and it has kotzim on it. It has thorns, which can hurt somebody in the Rishus HaRabim. Or, the god there, you have a fence, a stone fence, the Mishnah will explain, shenafal Rishus HaRabim, and the stones fell into Rishus HaRabim. And in each of these situations, with either the thorn that you put in the Rishus HaRabim, the glass you put in the Rishus HaRabim, the thorns from your fence that stick into Rishus HaRabim, or the stones from your fence that fell down are in the Rishus HaRabim, v'huzak ben acher, and they went and hurt somebody else. So, chayav benisko, in every one of those cases, you're going to be chayav for the damages. That's what the Mishnah says. And now Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah in the following way. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela b'mafriach. We're only saying that you're chayiv in that situation is if you were mafriach, where your thorns in the fence actually extended into the Rishus HaRabim. So your fence physically was on the ground in your Rishus, but the thorns, the thorny part of the fence extended into the Rishus HaRabim. Avu mitzamtzim, if in fact the thorns were totally confined to your own property, Rabbi Yochanan says, you are potter. So therefore, Marek questions and says, mitzamtzim, my time of potter. Why in this situation of mitzamtzim do we say that you are potter according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding? La, mishum, isn't it because the havile bor b'rishu? So because it's no different than if you built a bor in your own rishus, and then you go and are mafkir your rishus, but you're not mafkir the bor. So this is analogous to that case where you had a bar in your Rishus HaYochid, which you're allowed to go build a bar in your property if you want, but then you're mafkir your property, but you're not mafkir the bar. Rav Yochanan says in that situation, you're potter because this is your private bar. That's not the Torah telling you bar Rishus HaRabim. This is your private bar. You were subsequently mafkir the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you're potter. However, where then is the case of bar b'shus harabim that you chayev? Miklal d'chiyuva, the bar b'shus harabim who, the general reason is because it's a bar that was dug in the b'shus harabim. That's why you chayev. So to over here, your thorns are sticking into the b'shus harabim. Ama mafki nizakav chayev. So even though you're mafki them, you're chayev. So what do you see from here? Rav Yochanan is basically holding that if you're mafki nechosav, you're chayev, not potter like we said. So we have a problem. So the more answers, no. Liolam, lo, liolam, aim l'cho mafkir nizakim potter. No, Rabbi Yochanan really holds, if you're mafkir, you're nizakim, you are still potter. I. Why in the case of the fence, if you are mitzamtzein, my time of potter, why are you potter if you are mitzamtzein that it stayed totally within your rishos? Mishum di'itmar Allah, because we said on that case, Amar Ravacha b'rei Ravika, Ravacha who's the son of Ravika, said, Lefi she'ein darkin shumei adam l'schachik b'ksol. The reason why you're potter over there is because it's not normal for people to go rub against the fence. That's why you're potter. It's not orche. It's not the normal thing to do. And that's why you're potter. Gemara is still not happy. Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Ochi." So how can you tell me Rav Yochanan says you're potter? For Amar Rav Yochanan Halachik is Stam Mishnah. We have the famous rule. Rav Yochanan is famous throughout Shas for telling us that the halacha follows a Stam Mishnah, and we have a Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah that doesn't say who authored it. So that's called the Stam Mishnah, and this is also an Amasechta on Daf Nun, and it tells us over there, "Hachol for bar b'shus harabim." If somebody gives a bar in the b'shus harabim. And a shor or a chamar, an ox or a donkey falls into it, umeis, chayib. You're a chayib. So clearly, that's a stam mishnah. And Rav Yochanan holds like a stam mishnah. So how can you tell me that Rav Yochanan holds that you wouldn't be chayib for digging a bar in the Rishus HaRabim, even if you're a mafgrid? So obviously, Rav Yochanan holds that you're chayib. So therefore, it must be Eloliol and Rav Yochanan omer chayib. And therefore, Rav Elazar is the one that says you're potter. And that's what the Gemara now questions. What about, we just said before, Rav Elazar said the name of Yishmael, that you're chayev. So, I mean, the Rav Yochanan are chayev, if you tell me, that we know there's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar. And if it's Rav Yochanan the one that says that you're chayev, so then it must be that Rav Elazar is the one that says, potter. Rav Elazar, my potter. But wait a second. For Amar, Rabbi Elazar, Mishum, Rabbi Yishmael, and we turn to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, V'chule, we had the whole discussion that we had, that Rav Elazar said the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that there is the Torah sometimes considered something yours, even though it's technically not yours, such as digging a bar in the Rishus HaRabim. You don't own the Rishus HaRabim, but we view this bar as if it's yours, and therefore you're held liable. So how can you tell me that Rav Elazar holds that you're punter? We clearly see that Rav Elazar holds that you're chayiv. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem, as I alluded to before, lokasha. Ha didei, when we're saying that there's a machlokas of Yochanan and Rav Elazar, that Rav Yochanan says you're chayiv, and Rav Elazar is the one that says it's potter, that's Rav Elazar's personal opinion. However, when we said before, Rav Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, ha the Rabbi, that was his Rabbi's opinion, that was Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rabbi Yishmael happens to hold like Rav Yochanan, but Rav Elazar himself doesn't hold like his Rabbi, he holds differently, he says you're potter. Okay, that is a good break point over here at the next Mishnah. These are the Mishnahs that we said we learned today. We're going to hit them tomorrow again. And with this, we'll conclude today's year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should watch over all of Klal Yisrael. And the Ezes Hashem, there should be Shalom on Klal Yisrael. All the hostages returned safely and in good health. B'mheira, and there should be Shalom on Yisrael.